Hey everyone, Christopher from Movies Are Back. Just a little disclaimer before the episode starts. There's a couple of tech issues in this episode. I realized as we were recording, we banged the microphones a couple of times. It's kind of noticeable, at least for me. I tried to fix it as best as I could, so excuse that one. This one, also, while still being about an hour long, is also a bit of a truncated episode. We had a couple of other segments that we were planning to do that we ended up just cutting just for pacing reasons. It just kind of really started to lag. We did a full review of A Complete Unknown, so I'll actually be releasing that as a bonus podcast. You'll be able to find that as a separate sort of thing to listen to on the Movies Are Back Spotify and YouTube channels and sources there. So stay tuned for that one. That's about it. So enjoy me and Reese banging on about the Oscars. Bye.
Reese?
Yeah.
Did you know that movies are back? And yeah. Not only are movies are back, but movies are back is back.
We're back. Yeah. It's, been a minute. It's been a hot minute.
Movies are back.
Yeah, what's it been since, like, December?
Was it? It was, like, early-ish or mid-December, give or take. The last episode was on... Was it Wicked? No, it was...
Superman trailer
down. That's right, I did too. Yes. Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, that was definitely...
Yeah.
That was a while ago. Movies are back, everybody. This is the weekly news and review podcast where we have civil chats about film and other things that relate to... movies mostly. We try and sometimes cover TV shows. I'm your host, Christopher John, and here is my co-host, Reese Tarling.
How you doing, everybody?
Yeah, so it's been a little bit for us. We wanted to take a good sort of break. We're busy people, you know?
Yeah.
I started two new jobs technically over the last like 2 months or so. So that's been a bit of a whirlwind for
Wait, you got the photography thing, and what's the other one?
I did I was post over Christmas as well. Yes. Dude, I've had very little time, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into how little time I've had to actually see stuff. Do you want to know what's going on?
Oh, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on?
I guess there was the Oscar nominations, right?
Yes, but first, a little bit of a downer. Sometimes we start the show on a little bit of a downer. David Lynch passed away.
Oh, yes.
Yes. That was kind of, I would say... big news in this sort of the film world, just in, you know, in general. Like he was definitely one of those influential filmmakers that I think a lot of people would put up there with even like Spielberg or Scorsese in terms of like, you know what his movies are, you know what he did. He left a massive mark on the landscape, on pop culture even. Like Twin Peaks was a pop culture phenomenon in the 90s when it was on. Like Simpsons parodied, like people knew what it was, even though they never really understood it.
For him to take a like, surrealist kind of imagery and themes and stories to the level of popularity he did.
Yeah.
It's just one of a kind.
Absolutely.
I think, really.
Yeah, even from the gate, like Eraserhead just kind of came out, and it was one of those movies that stunned people, but not in that sort of like underground cinema, you know, people still talk about it in hushed tones. Like it actually did break through in a lot of ways where people... do sometimes make parodies of it. Like, I've seen people doing, like, memes of it even to this day. Like
it was Stanley Kubrick's favorite movie.
Yes, that's right. Neil Peart, the drummer from Rush, said it was an absolute classic comedy. He loved that movie, but he thought it was a comedy of all things. All right, fair enough. Then he went on to do The Elephant Man, which, again, an amazing movie, nominated for a bunch of Oscars. I think it was nominated for Best Picture.
It was,
that year. Then he made Dune, which... look, he was probably the world's biggest hater of that movie. It does have its fans to this day, but he just, you know, hated that, hated the experience of making that, and then went off to do Blue Velvet and Mulholland Drive, Twin Peaks, a couple of other movies. Straight Story is one it's not, that one's not surrealist as far
not
as I know.
At all.
Unfortunately, I'm not well versed.
I hadn't seen him. A Straight Story.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even heard of it until he died.
Yeah.
And to think he made that kind of movie is strange in and of itself.
Yeah.
But apparently it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I would like to see that.
I've heard that one's great. I think his last movie was...
Inland Empire.
That's where it was. It was like 2006, was
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah. It was a full-on surreal, as far as I know, I haven't seen it, but like almost kind of plotless, dreamlike imagery.
Yeah.
A pretty straightforward horror one with Laura Dern.
Yeah.
But a classic, considered a classic.
Last thing that he directed was the Twin Peaks Return
Yes, which I watched as it was on TV.
Yes.
And there's a few, I don't know if you've seen it.
No, unfortunately, I never watched Twin Peaks. I think I've only seen like a little bit of the first. As I said, I'm just not well versed in him. So
watching Twin Peaks The Return as it was airing was just, because I think it was like they started the first episode was like three, the first three, and then it was like week to week. It was 18 episodes.
Oh, was it?
So it was an epic story.
And
to see certain things happening on that show, it's like I've never seen this on any television or movie for that matter.
I mean, he already did that. Like a lot of his films, he was able to come up with imaginative ideas and concepts that baffled anyone else, but he was able to do it in a way that it wasn't just throwing stuff at a wall and alienating everybody.
It always had specific emotional resonance.
Yes.
Even if you couldn't explain it or it didn't really make sense.
Yeah.
It always had a sharp emotional resonance to it.
Because I think what was so cool about him was that he was also the kind of guy who voiced a recurring character on the Cleveland Show.
Yeah.
Whose last acting role was a cameo at the end of The Fablemans, where he played John Ford and got paid in a bag of Cheetos.
Yeah.
Like, he was always that kind of guy where, he's campaigning for Laura Dern for Best Actress in, was it Inland Empire? Yeah. With him sitting next to a banner that also had a cow, like a mock-up cow or something like that next to him. And it just said, Laura Dern, Best Actress, just to be as weird as possible. But he was that kind of person.
Well, that was just smart. It got attention.
Yeah.
And he's like, I couldn't put an ad in the trade.
No, exactly.
So that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah, just draw attention
but
that
he couldn't,
way.
So he like went an original way, you know.
But he put himself into that. So you always knew that it was coming from a human being. You always knew that it was coming from this just strange man with his wild hair and his very specific sort of nasally way of speaking, his strange turns of phrase.
I think Kyle MacLachlan described his voice as like a honk of a Great Plains voice.
That's right, it was too, yes.
Which is a brilliant way to describe
his tribute on Instagram. Yes. Just very, very moving stuff.
It was so beautifully written.
Yeah. An absolute titan of cinema past the age of 78. We already knew that he was diagnosed with emphysema.
Yes.
He had been very honest about that. He had been a lifelong smoker. Like for pretty much the entire,
probably when he was a teenager.
Yeah,
probably.
For as long as he's been in the public sphere, he's been a smoker.
He's like been known as a smoker.
Exactly,
like he would chain smoke,
and
all
he
the
never
time.
He never stopped. You know, and I would say that maybe he should have, but you know,
considering how long he lived, 78's it's old, but it's not.
That's long for a lifelong smoker.
For a lifelong smoker, it's miraculous.
Yeah, George Harrison died in his 60s and from the same sort of stuff, and he was a lifelong smoker as well. But like,
yeah, the 60s is kind of young. But
yeah. But yeah, David Lynch left a massive mark on cinema. Unfortunately, we might not see his like again.
No, the world is poorer for him not being here.
Absolutely, but still a very influential and beloved individual for people like ourselves. Moving on to sort of, I think the main big thing, there was a bunch of other little bits of pieces of news or whatever, but that's all just kind of fallen by the wayside, I feel. Either it was overshadowed by, half of California burning down.
Yeah.
Or now, currently, the 97th Academy Awards, which, I'll acknowledge the fact that maybe doing the Oscars at this point in time in LA, like people, there's a lot of conversation about, should we even go ahead with the ceremony? Should they go ahead with it when there's still a lot to rebuild? There's going to be a lot of people out of work. There's a lot of people who have no homes, who have their livelihoods are gone. Should we maybe push this sort of thing until way later? Should we cancel the ceremony?
Look, it's seen.
Yeah.
It's seen as tone deaf and in bad taste when things aren't burning down and people haven't lost their homes.
That is absolutely true.
So at this
true.
Point, it would look really weird. But so I guess they're going to do something different. Maybe they'll make it like a lottery, not a lottery West, but like a fundraiser.
Yes, I can imagine that this will be the main topic that I think a lot of the speeches will be centered around was, my heart goes out to these people. We are donating such and such to
this fund.
Yeah,
if they make it like a fundraising event, then that's cool.
All the proceeds from the Academy Awards will be going to rebuilding this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
If that's the way that they go with it, fine. I think that will make... I will think that will maybe some balance a few things, but we'll get into the 97th Academy Award nominations, which were, as always, always filled with controversy. So the way that I want to do this is we'll look at the nominees. I'll list out, you know, this is a category, pretty quickly just go bang, bang, bang. These are the movies that are nominated. And we kind of make our lock of who's going to win, but also who do we want to win.
Yeah.
It has to be one. We can't just say, oh, it could be either or. No, we'll make this lock.
Yeah.
And that will be our lock. And we'll see after the Oscars happen how right we were.
All right.
We'll do a little...
I'll do my best. Yes. I haven't seen all of the movies.
No, neither have I. This one's been... I think this might be maybe my worst year in terms of keeping up with what's come out.
Yeah, for me too.
Even the documentaries, like, we'll get into it, but the documentaries that they nominated, I'm like, I haven't heard of any of these. I've tried to keep up with as much, you know, international films or something like that. Half of them I'm like, I've never heard of that. What is this movie? Do I have to go track this down? Do I have to go watch it at like 9 o'clock at night on a weekday at Lunar Cinemas or something like that and pay $25? Because I feel like I might for some of these movies.
Yeah.
So we'll go from bottom to the top as it's read on the Wikipedia article. Best visual effects first. Nominees are Alien Romulus, Better Man, Dune Part 2, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and Wicked. Pretty good crop of nominees, to be honest.
It's not bad.
It's pretty... I think getting Better Man in there, that's terrific. Because that movie did not do well at all in the US. It made, like, I think $1 million in total.
What? Get out.
Yeah. It's a $110 million budget, and it's only made like 50 worldwide. And holy most shit. Of that is the UK and Australia, because that's...
They don't know Robbie Williams.
No, exactly. Yeah. Even though he's... Like, he sang the end song for Finding Nemo. Like, he's been there in the US.
I mean, I don't even remember that. No, and but
he's tried for so long. We knew this was going to happen. Anyway, it's really nice that he's gotten nominated. That movie's gotten nominated for its visual effects. That's actually two for Weta, because they did that. And Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Two monkey movies in there. Alien Romulus. I really like that they got nominated for that, because that had pretty amazing visual effects. Like, honestly, it's pretty seamless VFX there. Who do we think is going to win? I say Dune Part 2.
It's the same for me, Dune Part 2, and I want Dune Part 2 to win.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah, that one's easy.
I think Wicked could probably be a dark horse there, just because of how popular it was. The visual effects were still really great for that movie.
Yeah.
But I think it's still going to be Dune Part 2. It feels like that. It's a little surprising that Twisters didn't get a nomination, because that had pretty amazing visual effects, I found.
But what would you get rid of to put Twisters in there?
That's true. See, that's the problem. That's the problem with the category. It's like, no, I think they're all pretty worthy nominees there. It's also funny that Mufasa, an entire movie made in CGI, did not get nominated for it.
Did The Lion King get nominated the year?
Yeah, it's pretty sure it did. I think it might have even won that year, as far as I remember. Yeah. But yeah, no love for Mufasa. Fair enough, because it's bad.
Yeah,
that's one thing I did catch up on over our little break. Mufasa, it was bad.
Didn't even bother to see it.
Weird and bad. Film editing nominees: Anora, The Brutalist, Conclave, Emilia Perez, and Wicked. Now, best film editing usually is a pretty good indication of who wins Best Picture, because they do film editing like 4 or 5 awards before Best Picture. And it's pretty, like, that's how the Oscars usually do things, is that if it wins Best Picture, it's probably going to win editing, because that kind of goes one and two together. It's just one of these little cheats.
On that list, I've only seen one of those movies.
Yeah. I think it's going to go The Brutalist, just because I feel, and not to go ahead of things, I feel like that's going to win Best Picture.
Okay.
Out of everything there.
I feel like it won't win Best Picture, but...
Okay.
I have a feeling it'll be something
else. We'll get to that when I list the nominees there.
Yeah.
I think that Anora could be an amazing win, but I
think... Wait, Anora? Oh, I've seen Anora.
Anora and Wicked, I think, the only two ones there. I haven't seen Conclave, heard it's amazing. The Brutalist is an amazingly edited film. The fact that is a 3.5-hour movie that doesn't feel boring. Right. That is... People might say, but it's really long. It's like, yeah... But the way that it's edited, if you can follow along with the plot and the characters, and the pace and the tone and the emotions, that's good editing.
Yeah.
It's not because of the length. It's about how it feels.
Editing is hard to talk about, because the best editing, you're supposed to not think about it when you're watching it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to just feel like a seamless experience.
Yeah. I would have 100% put in Dune Part 2. I would have kicked out probably Emilia Perez, because that is another masterfully edited film. Joe Walker, he won the Oscar for Dune Part 1 for editing when that movie came out. So I'm surprised to see him get kind of kicked out here. It's the Oscars have very short memories.
So that's weird. I feel like Dune Part 2 should have got it some nomination too.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, it's a lot of like talking about like prophecies and they're hanging in caves and...
Mm.
But it feels so epic and grand and like there's stakes all the time.
The fact that that movie is 2:45 and you feel like it's constantly building.
Yeah, yeah.
It never
gets exhausting either.
No, exactly, yeah.
So it's such a well-paced... Yeah, I wish...
That's editing, man, yeah. Costume design, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Gladiator 2, Nosferatu, and Wicked. I think it's 100% going to Wicked.
Wicked's getting that.
Musicals always dominate in a lot of the technical categories for costuming or production design and stuff like that. So I think definitely Wicked. I think I could also see it going to Gladiator 2 because of how gaudy it is. Usually with costume design, it's like most costumes, biggest, grandest costumes. Little surprised by A Complete Unknown, just because it's mostly like, you know, 60s shirts and jackets. I don't know, it just doesn't scream to me like really... I mean, then again, that was a while ago. Trying to chase up those fabrics might have been very difficult. I don't know anything about costumes. Who am I to say?
I think the A Complete Unknown costumes work was very subtle. They did it because paid attention to sort of 60s fashion and what Bob Dylan did wear. And yeah, they recreated it flawlessly. Yeah,
fair enough.
And it felt lived in as well.
That's true. So that is true. It didn't look like they just bought them off a rack.
No, yeah, it looked really authentic.
That's good.
I kind of hope A Complete Unknown gets it.
That would be nice.
Wicked will get it though.
Yeah,
it would definitely be Wicked. I would like A Complete Unknown just for.
I would like that. Then also, Nosferatu would be pretty cool. Just
yeah, but that's also like very like a period piece. I feel like.
Costume design usually nominates period pieces. It very rarely nominates modern films.
But I mean, a Complete Unknown is a period piece.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
Makeup and hairstyling. We have A Different Man, Emilia Perez, Nosferatu, The Substance, and Wicked. I think that The Substance is going to get it.
The Substance is going to...
What do you think?
What were the other ones again?
A Different Man.
Yeah.
Where you have Sebastian Stan made up to...
That one's going to get it.
Well, to look like Adam Pearson, a real life person who has, I can't remember the name of his condition. He has basically tumors on his face.
Yeah, yeah.
Sebastian Stan is made up to look like that kind of person and then has a procedure to remove those and then meets Adam Pearson, who is this larger than life, amazing person, and he just gets very jealous of this guy.
Yeah.
It's a very weird, weird film. Emilia Perez, haven't seen it, so I can't really speak too much about its makeup. Nosferatu. Bill Skarsgård is completely hidden in that movie. So I would say I would prefer if Nosferatu won.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be The Substance just because it's so big. It's so crazy. It's so like, wow.
The monster at the end is very impressive.
Even just that, like almost all of Demi Moore's performance up to a certain point is just her in makeup. Whether, you know, when she's doing the old age sort of thing and it just gets worse and worse
the
and worse.
The emerging from the spine effect.
Mm. I mean.
It kind of should have got visual effects.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, I think... Yeah, see, that's the problem. Is the Academy sometimes forgets what visual effects are.
Yeah, but that is a visual effect, isn't it?
Well, yeah,
It's a practical effect.
They usually see visual effects as being CGI, most visual effects. Yeah, right, CGI. Yeah. So, yeah, I would say The Substance will get it, but I would love Nosferatu. Your same thing?
I think Nosferatu will get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it should win it, actually.
Okay, fair enough.
I'll go with Nosferatu on that one.
Cinematography, we have The Brutalist, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez... Maria and Nosferatu. I think that The Brutalist will win because it's new. They shot it in VistaVision to make it look like the 1950s. It is an amazing, like impeccably shot film.
Yeah.
I would love if Dune Part 2 did win.
Yeah.
Because that is the best shot movie of the year. It's still my favorite movie of last year.
Yeah.
But I think that The Brutalist just... It kind of has more of that sort of play. It sucks to talk about this movie to say that, oh, well, you know, it's going to win, but maybe it shouldn't. It's like, no, it's still a great movie. It's just that there's another really great movie that's right on its heels in terms of visual magnitude.
Yeah, I think The Brutalist will win it. I haven't seen it, but I bet you it will get that.
Yeah. It's very surprising, however, that Soyunbu Mukdiprom, who shot Challengers, Trap, and Queer, all from 2024, didn't get nominated.
Kind of, I thought Challengers would be a lock-in for cinematography.
I would probably kick out Emilia Perez or Maria to boot in challenges, or even, you know what, even Alien Romulus. That was a really just gorgeous cinematography there, the way they used the color orange as like the sort of main bold color throughout the entire film.
I liked the dusty feel of that movie.
There's also a lot of like lens choices. You can see like the sort of...
I feel like they used old lenses or something.
Yeah, they did. Like these sort of like edges on some of the lights had this sort of weird vintage sort of coloring that I just... I absolutely love that effect.
Yeah.
But still a pretty decent category. I've seen them nominate some very bad films in Best Cinematography in previous years. So still pretty good. Production design, we've got The Brutalist again, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Nosferatu, and Wicked. I think it's going to go to Wicked. They built like all the Munchkin land.
It should get it.
Yeah.
It's like a production design movie.
Dune Part 2, still amazing production design. But I think that Wicked, the fact that they built so much of that.
Well, Dune used a lot of the desert to great effect.
That is true.
And Wicked, they had to whole cloth, like invent Oz.
That's a very good point. Yeah. So I think we're very much in accord on that one. Best sound, A Complete Unknown, Dune Part 2. Emilia Perez, Wicked, and of all things, The Wild Robot.
Dune Part 2 for both. Like, it should win, and I hope it wins.
I think Wicked's going to win.
Because sound design?
Because musical.
Yeah.
Because musical, it's all about sound for them. So they're going to go, oh, well, you know, the sound, it sounded great. So therefore, it'll get it. Like, you have to think really stupid.
But I don't remember any memorable, really sounds of things in that movie.
Well, you can hear the musical numbers, so therefore
it's... But that's good. More sound mixing, I know. Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. They used to have sound editing and sound mixing, but now it's just all sound.
So there's no sound mixing category?
No, because sound mixing is how you mix everything. Sound editing is how you create sounds.
Sound, yeah.
You create, you know, the most classic example of sound editing is creating the blaster and lightsaber effects for Star Wars.
Yeah.
How you put that together with the score and the dialogue, that is mixing obviously. But recently they just, I think it was a couple of years ago, they just merged it all into one category, which I think sucks. I don't like that.
It's a bit disrespectful.
Yeah. It's very much to the sound.
They're different jobs. I'd say Dune though.
I want that to win, but I'm going to say Wicked just because I know the Academy. I've been paying attention for many years now and you got to think real dumb with these guys. But I will say it is amazing that an animated movie has gotten a sound nomination.
That doesn't usually happen.
No, they usually just relegate animated movies to either animated feature. Or best original song.
Right,
because it's usually a song at the credits or something like that. But yeah, so that was a bit of a surprise. Like, oh, all right. Good for them.
Yeah.
Just good for them. Here's a category that I know nothing about and I can't really say who's going to win. Best original song.
What are the songs?
Two songs from Emilia Perez. A song from the movie Sing Sing. Of all things, the song Never Too Late from Elton John, Never Too Late. Music and lyrics by Elton John.
Huh.
Which, to me, that screams of, we want to get Elton John to perform at the Oscars.
Yeah.
So, the one, however, there's a fifth nomination here. I don't know any of these songs. Can't tell you what they sound like, so I don't really care. Whatever's going to win, good for you or whatever. We're going to have to listen to these songs at the actual ceremony. They're going to have to be performed. So hopefully they're not all really boring. There's one in here, the Journey from the movie The 6888, music and lyrics by Diane Warren. If you don't know who Diane Warren is, don't worry. Not many people do. She's mostly a songwriter. This is her eighth consecutive nomination for Best Original Song.
Really?
She has been nominated in all eight previous Academy Awards. No, for the same category, and every single one of her nominees for the films that she's been nominated for, that's the only nomination that those films got. In fact, by and large, most of the movies that she gets nominated for are not great films.
Did they just put her in there because there was no one else who put in a song this year?
She has friends.
Oh, okay.
That's all it is. She just has friends in the Academy that like her, because that's the only reason why she's gotten eight consecutive nominations for the same bloody category.
Just
even though no one's heard about these songs or even these movies sometimes.
Just pretend Defying Gravity is an original song and nominate that.
That's why they're 100% going to go...
It's my favourite song.
They're going to be doing some new original song for next year, for Wicked Part 2, because they want... to get something in there. But I guarantee...
That's what they do with those Disney movies.
Do you think they're going to perform a Wicked number at the Oscars?
Yeah, fuck yeah. Why wouldn't you?
I would hope that they do, even though they don't have one nominated.
You got to do Defying Gravity at the Oscars. That's a no-brainer to come do on. That.
Yeah.
It's an uplifting, popular song.
Yeah.
Of course you play that. If they don't, then they're stupid. Chrissy.
I would be surprised if they didn't, to be honest. Best Original Score, The Brutalist, Conclave, Emilia Perez, Wicked, and The Wild Robot. I would love if The Brutalist won, because that is an amazing score. You can get what that score sounds like from the trailer, because they used a piece of music in the trailer. It's incredible. It's just such a beautiful, epic piece of work for a film of that size. I would also like if Wicked won. However, I don't think either of them are going to win. I think that it's going to go to Emilia Perez, because again, musical.
That's what I'm saying. Which apparently, it's a terrible movie.
Yes, that's all I've heard, is that it's bad.
I think it's weird to see it getting so many nominations.
It's got 13 in total.
Yeah, that's so many.
Which is the same number that Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, and Titanic got.
How is it even happening?
I don't know. Because Netflix. Because they spent probably $100 million.
Wait, it's a Netflix movie?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because they probably spent $100 million on advertising and you know, those sort of flyers for your consideration stuff.
Not to get too off the path, but I've seen random scenes of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no thanks.
No, this is...
This looks like shit.
It looks, real bad. And this isn't just like Twitter chat or whatever. I've read reviews from people that I trust, whose opinions that I trust, and they all say, this movie's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
It sucks. It's not good. It's about, you know, a Mexican drug cartel leader who wants to be a trans woman. And you might think, oh, wow, so empowering, so diverse. But apparently it's really offensive to both trans people and Mexicans.
That's what I've heard.
Because it's not directed by anyone involved who is a trans person or Mexican.
He's a French man.
It's some French director who adapted this movie from his own self-made opera.
Well, you got to respect the hustle, I guess.
I guess. It's truly baffling. Next one is, we're going to do a bit of best animated short film, best live action short film, best documentary short subject, and best documentary feature. I don't know any of these movies in these categories.
Yeah, Spider-Verse for all five of those things.
there's a Spider-Verse short film. Don't worry, that's not nominated, so it's fine.
It should have been.
It should have been. It was great. I'm sure that some of these movies are amazing. Unfortunately, I don't know any of them. I look forward to tracking them down on YouTube. Best international feature film. We have Emilia Perez, again. Flo, which is an animated movie.
I've heard that was good.
Yeah. It's from Latvia, of all places. The Girl with the Needle is a Danish film.
Mm.
I'm Still Here is a Brazilian film. And The Seed of the Sacred Film, which is from Germany, but it's also the language that they use is Persian, of all things.
No, Seed of the Sacred Fig?
Mm.
I've heard of that.
Yes, I have heard
My
of that
parents,
as well.
My parents, I think, went to see it. They were playing it at Somerville.
Yeah. So it's got a lot of...
The posters look good. Give it to that one. I like the look of that one.
I mean, look, I'm going to say that it's just going to go to Emilia Perez because it's gotten so many nominations elsewhere that even if it doesn't win Best Picture, it'll probably win International Feature.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever. I would prefer if something like I'm Still Here wins. Unfortunately, I haven't seen any of these movies.
Yeah.
I still want to get around to them, but I've heard that I'm Still Here is amazing. And that one has been a bit of a real sort of dark horse to even go so far, not to get ahead of ourselves, but it's been nominated for Best Picture as well.
Oh, okay.
And for Best Actress.
Yep.
So if that won Best International Feature, I guarantee that those people would be over the moon, like, oh my God, we didn't think that we were going to win. And I can see that, and it'd be such an amazing moment, but it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's probably just going to go to Emilia Perez, so whatever. I would have preferred to have had, there's a couple of movies that I have seen, international movies. Girls Will Be Girls, which is an Indian movie about a teenage girl that I thought was fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Very small film, but highly recommend that one. Touch, which was that Icelandic-Japanese movie about the Icelandic dude who went to Japan when he was younger, fell in love with a Japanese woman.
Oh, yeah, I saw trailers, so many trailers for that.
Very good movie.
It is?
Very surprising.
Do you remember we would mock it?
Yeah, we were. And then, we watched the trailer being like, oh, this looks so bad.
And then you say, like, it's good. Okay, yeah. If you say it's good, I check it out.
It is quite good. It was very affecting. Yeah. And Kneecap. Kneecap would have been amazing. That's the Irish hip-hop trio. Oh, yes,
yeah.
They didn't get nominated, and their response, not to get too candid, their response on Twitter was, fuck the Oscars, free Palestine. That's awesome. I was just like, sick. Yeah. You guys are awesome. Cool. They did get nominated for a bunch of BAFTAs, though. So good for them. Awesome. Yeah. Would have been nice to see them in there. Best animated feature, Flow, Inside Out 2, Memoir of a Snail. Yeah, Australia.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance Most Foul, and The Wild Robot. I think... Personally, I think Flo will get the win.
I feel like The Wild Robot will get it.
Maybe. Honestly, it's a pretty good category. Yeah. I think every film in there deserves to be there. Even Inside Out 2, you know, I know it's more of the big blockbuster Disney-type movie, but it was still very good in of its own right.
That's the only one I saw on that list was Inside Out 2.
Yeah.
And I thought it was good.
But not, you know... I don't think that will go all the way to the win. I think that the animated category is so diverse, especially this year in terms of even just animation styles, like Memoir of a Snail and Wallace and Gromit, to claymotion. To have that in there, that's amazing. Flow is like a 2.5D where it's CGI, but it looks like a painting. Same with The Wild Robot as well. It's real diverse styles in there.
Wallace and Gromit still the same voice for Wallace?
No, he passed away, but the guy who's doing it sounds exactly the same. It's kind of weird how exactly the same he has.
Really?
He's been able to do it. I think Flow will get it just because it's nominated in a couple of other categories, so that's good. I would hope that Memoir of a Snail wins, because that would be amazing. Adam Elliott, the director of that, he's an Australian director. He did win Best Animated Short Film for Harvey Crumpet back in the 90s or something like that. That's kind of how his career started. Unfortunately, he's kind of struggled to get his films financed, which is why there was like 15 years or something between Mary and Max and Memoir of a Snail.
Right.
Which sucks, but I think, yeah... If he could go all the way to the win, that would be amazing for not only him, but for our country as well, to say, yeah.
I want an Aussie to win, so absolutely. I want the snail to win.
Yes, let's go snail. Hooray. It would have been nice to see Transformers 1 in there.
Yes, I agree. Actually, if that was nominated, I would want that to win.
I think so.
Because I enjoyed, I don't know if we put it on the pod.
We did, yeah. Last time.
I loved it, yep.
Yeah, that was amazing. But you know what's also really nice? Moana 2 was nominated. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a sweet little victory to say, no, we're not even going to nominate the Disney movie because not even that's good enough for us. We're actually going to look at the really good stuff over here, not just whatever Disney did, you know?
Yeah.
So that's nice. I like that. That makes me happy. Moving on to Best Adapted Screenplay. This is a sort of the big categories. Adapted Screenplay, we have A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Emilia Perez, Nickel Boys, and Sing Sing. Personally, I think that Conclave should win because, I haven't seen it, but I've heard that screenplay is just amazing. It's kind of funny, but it's also dark. It's like a real good pulp thriller centered around the Catholic Church. I think that Emilia Perez is going to win.
Yeah.
For adapted screenplay. Emilia Perez is going to win. It would also be nice that something like Nickel Boys or Sing Sing, because they're tiny, tiny films that somehow have gone all the way to this nomination. Be amazing if those movies won. Last year, we saw American Fiction win adapted screenplay.
Uh-huh.
It didn't get any other
wins.
Didn't
get anything else.
No, but that was a really good win. That was very well deserving, even with Oppenheimer in the same category. I think the screenplay nominations and the screenplay wins the last couple of years have actually been very, very good. They haven't really slipped up or given the wrong movie the Oscar or something like that. Even, you know, 2022, they gave Women Talking the adapted screenplay Oscar. Like, again, didn't win anything else, but fully deserved that win. I can't really deny that one. So, unfortunately, I think it still will be Emilia Perez just because of the massive nominations. Like, I really see that the Oscars have just drunk the Kool-Aid here. And
they've already decided on that one.
Yeah, they're going to go all the way for this stupid movie that apparently is bad.
Yeah.
Original screenplay... Anora, The Brutalist, A Real Pain, September 5 or September 5th, and The Substance. Now, that is a category.
Okay, I've seen three of those movies, so that's something.
Which ones are Onora, Real Pain, and The Substance? That's right. Yes. There you go. Yeah. Those are the only ones that I've seen. Oh, no, I've seen The Brutalist. I haven't seen September 5th. No, actually, I haven't seen A Real Pain. I was trying to. I was really desperate to go out and see that
one. I thought you were going to see that one.
No, I wasn't able to. How was that?
It was good. Yeah. Charming movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So I think this category is pretty good. Like, pretty strong.
Yeah.
September 5th, that's kind of, I don't know, going under the radar quite a bit. It's not even out here until
February something, rather. It.
It's around the... Can't talk on it. It's centered around the Munich terrorist thing in 1972.
Okay.
Around the Olympics. Yeah. Which... Again, I probably will go into that movie being like, all right, how do you compare with Steven Spielberg's Munich, a very, very good movie that already did the story pretty well?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just me. But I think The Brutalist is going to win this category. However, I would very much like if Onora won.
I think Onora will win.
I think, well, because Sean Baker, he got nominated. I think Red Rocket got nominated for screenplay.
Yeah.
I know the Florida Project did as well. So it would be nice if he could get his flowers now. He won the Palme d'Or at Cannes. So, you know, a little bit of Oscar love would be very, very nice. I don't think it's going to happen, but it'd be very, very nice.
Have they ever done a movie with, like, I mean, a mainstream kind of Oscar movie, like about a stripper with, like, that much depth without it being condescending, but also it's quite real? Like, I think Onora should get it.
I mean, Pretty Woman had a bit of a darkness to that story, but not to this extent.
The original version did, but as it was like, she's not a prostitute. Like, really?
It's a little tame around those edges.
Very
tame. It still gets darker at a certain point, like with Jason Alexander. He tries to do bad stuff to her, and Richard Gere beats him up and all that. But that one ends so beautifully and magically. This one does not end like that. It's kind of sad and like, oh... Okay, this is a bad time. At the end, it was just like a bit of a bad time, but it was good in that way.
I want Onora to win it, and I think it will win it.
Okay, fair enough. I would have... This one, I think, could have also still had nominations for challenges. That screenplay is amazing.
Yeah.
The way that is, as funny as it is, but as emotionally driven as it is.
The confrontations in that are like tennis matches in themselves. Right.
Just
like,
gorgeous. You know? Would have also been nice to see... I Saw the TV Glow, or Kinds of Kindness, Blink Twice, Strange Darling, Rebel Ridge, Saturday Night. There was a lot of great original screenplays just in general.
Yeah.
So I think there was I can't really say this category is lacking, to be honest, because these movies are like good screenplays, but it's just there was also so many more. I think we just had an embarrassment of riches in 2024. We'll move on to supporting actress. We have Monica Barbaro for A Complete Unknown, Ariana Grande for Wicked, Felicity Jones for The Brutalist, Isabella Rossellini for Conclave, and Zoe Saldana for Emilia Perez. A lot of you know, Barbaro and Grande and Rossellini and Saldana, like a lot of Latinx are sort of European names here, and then there's Felicity Jones. Like, just
English woman.
I know, yeah. It's interesting how they've done that. I think that Zoe Saldana will win, but I prefer if Ariana Grande won.
I think Ariana Grande actually will get...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There seems to be just the train behind her to win it.
Yeah, but there was also a bit of a train behind, like, you know, Ryan Gosling as Ken in Barbie. And he got the nomination, but he didn't go for the win. And he could have.
But that had optics of, like, well... You want to give Ryan Gosling for the Barbie movie? Like,
yeah, but it's like giving, you know, Ariana Grande for Wicked when it's...
No. I mean, a man in a Barbie movie. Okay, optic-wise, I don't, you know. Yeah. But for Ariana Grande, I feel like she was just born for that role.
Yeah.
And she was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly
cast.
I think she will win it. Mm-hmm. Who are the other ones again?
The other ones are Zoe Saldana, Isabella Rossellini for Conclave, Felicity Jones for The Brutalist, and Monica Barbaro for A Complete Unknown. That one is very nice, but I haven't heard that one in any other awards categories or any other awards bodies.
I'll say, both for Ariana Grande. I want her to win it.
Okay. I think it's still a solid pick anyway. I'll still put some weight behind that one. Supporting actor, we have Yura Borisov for Onora,
cool, yeah, awesome. I loved him. Just,
how good is that?
Yeah.
How good is that he got that nomination?
God, the rest of the names you say, it's going to be tough to beat that one.
Kieran Culkin for A Real Pain.
Oh, he, yeah.
I know, yeah. See, yeah. See, you've seen the movie. I knew you'd have the response.
Yeah.
Edward Norton for A Complete Unknown.
Oh, God.
it's good. Guy Pearce in The Brutalist. Again, you haven't seen it.
No, I've heard
he is terrific in that movie.
Yeah.
That one is a real... Not to say that he's had a bad career, but he's, you know, he hasn't really...
He's under the radar for a bit.
Kind of. Yeah. He's been doing a lot of other projects. Yeah. This one is a real sort of, I think, return to form for that sort of... For the kind of roles that he was getting in the 90s and the early 2000s where people thought, oh my God, this is the next guy.
Mm.
But then he just, you know, he didn't really get there. You know? After Memento, I think he kind of had a bit of a slump even, which... The Time Machine. That's what did it to him. That huge box office bomb that nobody liked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that probably didn't help
yeah.
back in those days. And Jeremy Strong for The Apprentice. That is an amazing performance.
Oh, yes, that yeah. one was.
Yeah, that's right. You have seen The Apprentice.
Yes.
I did catch up with that one. Yuck. That movie is just gross.
Which one?
The Apprentice.
It is, isn't
it's
it?
It's just really just disgusting. And
it's.
I loved it, but it was like, ugh, I don't want to watch this again.
Yeah.
That movie felt like when you eat KFC.
You feel like you've been exposed to radiation
yeah.
watching that movie.
You just like just grabbed a handful of grease and just yeah. smothered on your face. You're just like, oh, I need a shower.
It's grimy.
Yeah, it's a real grimy movie.
Grimy movie.
In the worst way possible. So yeah, this is a great category. This is a terrific category. Fuck.
Okay.
I mean, I still would have liked to see Josh O'Connor or Mike Feist for Challengers, but where are you going to put them in there?
No, you can't you get can't. Rid of any it's of those just, guys. You just can't.
It's too hard.
Okay, the Anora mm-hmm. supporting actor should win it.
Yes, I think that Kieran Culkin's going to win because he got the Golden Globe.
Yes, I think he's actually going to win.
Because he's got Succession behind him. He's got a real, you know, uptick here. I think it's great optics as well. That's probably what they're looking at.
He kind of made that A Real Pain movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, he really carried that. Not that anyone was bad in that movie, but that movie, it's a slight kind of movie.
Yeah.
But it has heavy themes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he bears a lot of it.
That's all I've heard about this film. Is him.
Yeah.
And the way that he plays this character.
And you go, you have complicated feelings towards him because in some scenes you just hate him and it's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm,
sometimes
mm-hmm.
you feel really sorry for him.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's just really charismatic and fun.
Yeah.
So he feels like a guy you know almost. So
yeah.
I'm talking myself into Kieran Culkin.
I look, honestly, if it's Eura or Kieran, terrific. Yeah,
I'm going to say it's a... I'll go with the Nora.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Edward Norton because... Has he ever won an Oscar?
I don't know, no.
I don't think he ever has.
He should win one.
That's weird. He seems like the kind of guy to have already won one at this point because he's known as being, you know, an amazing actor. So. Yeah,
but he's not liked.
No, well...
That's the problem.
He's very particular.
He pisses people off.
Yeah,
that's why he hasn't won.
He's still great, though.
But they don't go really with that. They no. have to be
it's
liked.
Like Mark Ruffalo, you know, another Hulk actor where he gets nominated a bunch for different movies, but he's never won.
Yeah.
He was nominated for, you know, Spotlight and Poor Things, great performances, still never won.
Yeah.
So that's... But Guy Pearce, probably not. Jeremy Strong, probably not. There again, another Succession alum there.
Yeah, true.
So clearly the Oscar voters are fans. We'll move on to Best Actress. This one is a wide open field.
Okay.
It could be anyone, really. We got Cynthia Erivo for Wicked.
Yeah.
As Elphaba. Probably, I don't know, now I would say one of the most defining versions of that character that has been performed many, 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 many times on stage.
The only one I know about.
Yeah, well.
I haven't seen the stage show.
Carla Sofia Gascon. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that name. She is the titular Emilia Perez. She's a trans actress, so I think she's one of the first, if not the first, trans woman ever nominated for Best Actress.
Right.
So that's, even if that movie sucks,
yeah.
that's an amazing nomination.
Yeah.
Good for her. Mikey Madison for Anora. That's a career-making turn, but, you know, I think that had a lot of hype, but there was a lot of controversy around the fact that they didn't use an intimacy coordinator.
You think that would affect?
Well, maybe that was just online sort of.
I think that's more online chit-chat. Yeah.
We got Demi Moore for The Substance. That's a career resurgence. You know, Brendan Fraser, Ki-Hui Kwan, sort of, oh my God, they're back. And not to say that they really went anywhere, but they're back.
What's
you know?
The next one?
And Fernanda Torres for I'm Still Here. She won the Golden Globe for Best Dramatic Actress.
It's going to go to Demi Moore.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that as well.
Probably, she should probably get it.
I think so she would deserve it the most. I would say that Demi Moore is going to win. I think that it's got enough of that, you know, celebrities sort of, she's been there, she's been around for so long, she's probably got friends who love her and has gotten her to this point. They probably don't care that it's a horror movie that turns into spraying the audience with a fire hose full of blood. Like, they don't care about that. They just look at, oh my God, Demi Moore, she's so cool. I like her a lot. That's what they vote for, is I like that person. She gets my vote.
It's kind of quote-unquote brave.
Still deserves it, absolutely. I would also still, personally, who I think should win, Cynthia Erivo, just because I love her and I've loved her for years now. But
well, she has to, like, do those songs and she has to act.
Stunts.
Yeah.
And, you know, in front of blue screen sometimes she was singing a nobody.
Yeah.
That's, I mean,
I see what you mean by it being an open field. But
it's a great category, though.
Demi Moore, the story and the substance, like, mm-hmm. I mean, think she, that's a challenge to do because, like, it's kind of a parody and but it's very real as well.
She
threads the needle.
She's funny, but flawlessly. She's also, oh yeah, we mentioned it in a previous episode. Like, my favorite scene of that movie is one where she doesn't even have any dialogue. So she's just getting ready for the date.
Yeah, exactly.
And she keeps ruining her makeup and doing it again and getting a different dress on. It's just like this very real moment of hating yourself so much that you just ruin your life.
It was visceral. I felt that. So that's why I say Demi Moore.
Okay. No, fair enough. I think that's still solid pick. She wins. That's an amazing moment for her.
Yeah.
We are missing, however, Marianne Jean-Baptiste for Hard Truths, which was Mike Lee's latest movie. Zendaya for Challengers would have been absolutely amazing because that is her movie. She rules that entire film.
Yeah, she was really good.
I would have also put in Lily Rose Depp for Nosferatu. Again, I don't know who I'd take out, but I would put in Lily Rose Depp for Nosferatu because that is... Oh.
I would say she, in my opinion, I just thought she was all right in the movie.
Really?
I actually thought, like, the physical acting was really good. But I don't know, like, she wasn't on the same level as anyone else in that movie.
For me, it was the first time that I really saw her as a true actress, because
she's good in it, but it's I think it's a bit overrated.
Okay.
My opinion, but she is good in it.
It's one of those roles where it's going to ask you to do a lot of big stuff. You know, it's a really big role in terms of, like, you know, the sort of possession scenes that she has where she's drooling and eyes rolling in the back of the head.
Well, that stuff she did flawlessly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I would have actually, on that note, no one would have nominated this, but I would have put Nell Tiger Free from First Omen. That is an incredible horror performance. Better than Lily Rose Depp. I still am the only one who's like, I like the First Omen. Nobody's talking about the movie. Everyone talks about Buddy Immaculate or Long Legs and stuff like that. But I'm still just going, First Omen was pretty good. We'll move on. Best Actor. We've got Adrien Brody for The Brutalist. Timothy Chalamet for A Complete Unknown. Colman Domingo for Sing Sing. Ralph Fiennes for Conclave, and Sebastian Stan in The Apprentice.
Oh.
Great category. Great nominations, I think, pretty much all around. I don't know who I'd really... It sucks that Daniel Craig... Again, I haven't seen Queer, but apparently Daniel Craig in Queer is, like, one of the best performances he's ever given.
Yeah.
So it's weird that he's not here. Beyond that, I think Adrien Brody's going to win.
I think he's going to win.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't mind if Sebastian Stan won.
That would make certainly a statement, seen as he's playing the current president.
But his performance in that
was
objectively amazing.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah. He channeled the... And this is a thing where it's like, we're sick to death of impressions of him. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, but he didn't do that.
No, it seemed like he channeled his essence, but didn't do an impression.
Yeah, definitely. I think that Adrien Brody's going to win, who I prefer, even though I love Sebastian Stan in The Apprentice.
I can't speak to The Brutalist. I haven't seen it.
But no.
I'm sure he's good in it.
He is great. He is truly amazing. I haven't seen the Pianist. I've never seen that movie.
Neither have I.
He won Best Actor for that.
Bad I haven't seen that movie.
Don't feel bad. It was made by a pedophile. Anyway.
No, you're right.
I would love to see Colman Domingo win.
Yeah.
Sing Sing, I did catch up with that one. Incredible movie. It's a tiny film, shot on film. It's set in a prison. Most of the actors in it, beyond Colman Domingo, are real life.
Sing Sing is a prison, isn't it?
Yeah. It's in New York, I think, as far as I remember.
I've only seen Colin Domingo in Euphoria.
Yes.
But I was like, give him the Oscar.
I loved him in... Did you see that movie Zola?
No.
No. Terrific movie. He's amazing in it. Like, he's terrifying.
Really?
He's got such a great range. But in this movie, he's so warm. You know, his character calls everyone beloved.
Mm-hmm.
That's this thing with this theater group that's in this prison. He calls everyone beloved.
Mm.
But it's not, you know, he doesn't do it, you know, sort of
it
mockingly.
Feels sincere.
Oh, yeah. It feels genuine and sincere. He's one of the only professional actors in that movie. Everyone else is real life ex-prisoners, ex-members of this theater group. And that is just, I highly recommend Sing Sing. So I would personally put Colin Domingo as my preference, but I think, yeah, Adrian Brody there. Best director, we have Sean Baker, Anora, Brady Corbett, The Brutalist, James Mangold for A Complete Unknown, Jacques Audiard for Emilia Perez, and I'm so sorry if I bungle this one, Coralie Fargeau or Fargette for The Substance. Now,
where's Denis Villeneuve?
Not fucking here. What That's where hell? He is. He's not fucking here.
How can you not have you got Emilia Perez?
They didn't nominate him for Dune Part 1. And they didn't nominate him for Part 2. It's just like they clearly fucking hate him.
It's a snub.
I'm sorry for swearing so much, but it's driving me nuts now.
That's like, a snub that he's not nominated.
The good thing is he doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care. Because he's going to go make Dune Messiah, and it's probably going to be amazing.
Yeah,
and that might get, you know, Best Picture, Best Director nominations. But at that point, he's like, I don't care.
If this movie came out in November as original, could be different.
Yes, and I think that's the problem with
Dune. Because it came out in February.
I think that's the problem with Dune Part 2 and Challengers.
They came out too early.
Yeah, they were supposed to come out in November of 2023. Got pushed because of the strikes, then came out in March and April of last year.
Yeah.
Still were amazing. Still made a bunch of money, you know, beloved by audiences. People went to go see Challengers and went, that's a fucking movie. That is an amazing, amazing film. But the Oscars have such a short attention span that they just went, sorry, no, we we'll give that one a couple of nominations. You know, we'll give Dune Part 2, you know, some of the techie awards, not even original score. There's a rule against that. Bullshit.
A rule. Yeah, give it to Sean Baker. I think I saw some interviews with Mikey Madison about their collaboration.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sounded amazing. So,
yeah.
Like, you know, he really let her have input into scenes and, like, her character.
Oh, he seems like a great dude.
Yeah, like, he seemed like he guided that ship really well. How it flitted between being, like, kind of a grimy drama and a fucking farce.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so effortlessly.
To balance that tone where you're laughing so hard. Like, I've said this before. I've never seen you laugh so hard in a movie before. But then by the end, you walk out kind of cold and kind of like, whoa.
You just feel so sad for her. So I'd Sean Baker should win it. Will he win it? No, it'll be the Emilia Perez director.
I think it's going to go Brady Corbett, The Brutalist. I think the whole thing with that and the way that they kept it, like, you know, a $10 million budget, meant to be in a 50s style, 50s shot epic and all that sort of stuff, that sort of monumental production, I think that will definitely go there. The whole, we can talk about this now, the whole AI controversy thing, I think that that's just blown over now by this. Maybe yes, it will affect it. Maybe, yeah, sure, The Brutalist loses because some guys made a big deal about the fact that they use ReSpeecher to slightly perfect some of the Hungarian accents, which, honestly, there's so many movies that use ReSpeecher now. Like, if you want to boycott them all, you're not going to be watching many movies in the future. But sorry.
Yeah, it's just a tool they use slightly. Like, who cares?
And the other one was they used it to design. They said the headline, for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, there was the editor of the movie came out and said, oh, we used generative AI to design some of the things towards the end of the movie shown on screens. And people ran with that to say, they used it to design all the buildings in the movie. And then the director came out, Brady Corbett, and said, no, we used it to generate elements, like graphic design elements, in the background of one shot that was intentionally made to look like cheap and nasty 80s video technology. that's what we did.
Yeah.
Which I read that and went, that's nothing. That is absolutely nothing. That's what people were banging on about. Like, I get it. Generative AI, it's a controversial subject. We don't like it. You know, we have a category that's dedicated to AI bullshit. But to me, that's like, whatever. Like, as long as it didn't cut down our rainforest, fine. I think there is an ethical way to use AI if it's used small, like people who already are video editors or graphic designers use a new tool, like how music editors started using Pro Tools. People thought that was going to be the death of music.
Yeah.
But turns out like everyone uses that now and it makes things a lot easier, a lot better. Now everyone can make music because of that sort of technology.
Yeah.
So I think there is a way to do it. And I think they did it the best that they could with their tiny budget. And it worked out pretty well because they're probably going to win Best Picture. So, I don't know. I just don't have that much of a problem with this whole...
I don't really give a shit.
No, yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
I wanted to address that because it would have been so dominating the conversation.
Yeah. Whatever to all that.
Yeah,
people getting sore about it. Oh, fuck yourself.
I know, exactly. There's nothing we can really do about it. They're going to do what they're going to do, you know?
Yeah.
So, I think Brady Corbett, Best Director. That's my pick.
Yeah.
I would prefer, however, Coralie Farjo. Or Fargette for The Substance.
Yes.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. I don't think it's going to happen, but it'd be very nice.
Yeah.
Very, very nice that she goes.
Yeah. That was a really well put together movie. Yes.
And final category is Best Picture. We have Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked. Look, I'm very happy that they nominated. Their maximum for this category is 10 nominations. They nominated the full 10. Sometimes they only nominate like 8. I'm like, come on, just nominate 10 movies.
Yeah.
If that's the maximum, go for the maximum. I don't get it, but still, 10 films here. I've only seen, I've seen Anora, The Brutalist, Complete Unknown, Dune Part 2, The Substance, and Wicked. I've only seen 6 out of the 10.
I'm actually going to say give it to Anora.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the only ones you've seen on here.
No, I've seen a few of them. I saw The Substance.
Yeah, I haven't seen The Brutalist.
I haven't seen The Brutalist.
I'm trying not to hype it up too much for you, but it is pretty...
I've seen half of the movies on that list.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
So I say give it to Anora.
Have you seen Conclave?
No, I haven't.
No, I've heard that's amazing, though.
That's what I've heard, too.
I would love if Anora won. I think
Wicked will actually get it.
You think Wicked?
Yeah.
Okay. I still think The Brutalist because it fits right into the Oscars wheelhouse. I think that movie will come away with, you know, picture, director, actor, and screenplay and editing. That's like 5 Oscars or cinematography in 6. So that's a nice even number for them. Or we could all be wrong and they just give it to Emilia Perez to be like, we really like this movie because they've Don't been dumb in the past. They gave Green Book Best Picture for God's sakes. And that was not that long ago.
You know what?
Yeah.
Controversial take.
You don't mind Green Book?
I liked watching it. I mean, I didn't like its... I didn't like sort of its kind of politics, if that makes sense.
I didn't hate the movie
itself. But I liked their friendship. It was really warm. Definitely. It was nice. It was a nice... and the acting also served to make it really great, Mahershala Ali and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, he won Best Supporting Actor for
that. The period details and... Mm-hmm. I left the movie with a smile on my face. I was so happy. It's so corny when he invites him for dinner at the end.
Yes,
but I loved it. So I liked the movie.
Do you think that it should have won Best Picture that year?
What else was that year?
Well, over something like Roma, Alfonso Cuarón's Roma, for example, was one of the better movies of that year. But even like movies that weren't nominated. Actually, no, Black Klansman was nominated that year for Best Picture. Even like better films that dealt with racial ideas of racial politics, like The Hate U Give or Blindspotting, weren't nominated for Best Picture.
Blindspotting wasn't nominated. Nah. That's so weird. That was such a good movie.
2018 was a look. I will say that Green Book was a better pick over Bohemian Rhapsody
because was trash.
It very nearly was Bohemian Rhapsody.
But that's where like I'm going to be so controversial and so brave.
Yeah. I never hated Green Book as a movie, like just on its own. I hated the fact that it went all the way to win Best Picture over so many other much better films. I don't think
it shouldn't have been Best Picture. To be honest, it shouldn't have been nominated.
No, to me.
But I liked watching it.
It felt like a Netflix movie. Like the sort of like...
No, it was better than a Netflix movie.
It felt to me like a HBO sort of TV movie of some kind. Like a sort of like nice and simple, you know, real throwback to Driving Miss Daisy, which also won Best Picture. Like that sort of... you watch it on like a Sunday afternoon and it's a nice pleasant watch or something like that. It doesn't rock the boat or anything like that. But I think that's the problem, is that if I want a movie to win Best Picture, I want it to really shake things up. I want people to come away from it going, whoa, I really see the world in such a completely different light, or man, that just shook something up inside me. Because the next year was Parasite. And that was just, that was a phenomenon, honestly.
Yeah.
The year after that was Nomadland, which was just such a gorgeous, beautiful, moving type of film that I felt so moved by. Then after that was Coda. That was a real Green Book pick of like, that was nice. Let's give it Best Picture because it was really nice. Anyway, look, we've gone off a track there. I think Brutalist.
Brutalist, still, yeah.
I'm going to lock that one in.
Anora.
I'm surprised to see Nickel Boys here. Because
I don't even know that one.
No, because it's not going to get released in Australia at all in cinemas. It's going to go streaming on February 27th.
Okay.
Which is, look, honestly, I'm not surprised because our cinema distribution does not take very kindly to black-led films. Right. They either get absolutely no cinema release whatsoever and just get dumped to Netflix or something, or they come out in such a small, tiny window that by the time you can or, you know, have the ability to go see it, it's gone. Like, I still haven't seen Ava DuVernay's last movie.
Well, that was the one with... It covered a period of time or something.
It was like a very ambitious sort of...
It went from ambitious, epic...
Nazi Germany to the modern times of dealing with, like, racial violence with police injustice and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that came out in April of last year, well after the Oscars. And by that point, nobody's paying attention to that film. And it disappeared. And I still haven't watched it, which I hate. And that keeps happening to movies that either star black leads or are directed by black filmmakers. If they don't come out before December in Australia, they won't come out at all. They'll just get dumped somewhere and everyone will forget about them.
Yeah.
And it keeps happening year after year after year that I feel very troubled by it. It's a very, very bad pattern that we've developed as a country.
I agree with that.
So those are the Oscar nominations on that note. Look, a lot of absences, a lot of people have pointed out that like films like Blitz, Steve McQueen's latest movie, Challengers, Juror Number 2, Queer, no nominations whatsoever, which is just kind of weird.
Like bad, like not only are they excluded, but Emilia Perez is hogging all of the nominations.
If it went for Best Picture, Director, you know, the actresses and a couple of the songs, fine. But then it's getting like, you know, cinematography and editing and Best Original Score, two nominations for Best Original Song. It's like, come on, pump the brakes here, please. And the fact that it's not even in any country's top 10 of Netflix movies.
Really, yeah.
So who's watching it? Is it just the Oscar voters? Did they just believe all the Netflix ads?
This feels like just a case of like someone is getting too many hand jobs and then... This one, for some reason, there's some favors have to be repaid.
Oh, absolutely.
It just reeks of that. This feels so artificial. This didn't have any push. There's no push for this movie.
What this is, as people pointed out, people have to realize that most of the Oscar voters are the white family from Get Out.
Yeah.
They just want to go to their nice parties and say, I voted for the trans-Mexican movie for Best Picture because I think it's a very important story. Because I think it will really show Donald Trump, you know, a good message.
I think
that's what they want to do.
Part of it, yeah, definitely. Because
he's saying all this stuff about trans people. He wants to deport all the immigrants or whatever. So they're going to go, Emilia Perez, because that really shows that we are on the right side of history by nominating and winning and giving the award to a movie that is somehow offensive to both camps.
Look.
Cool. Thank you, Oscars. You've done it again.
So are you saying if Kamala won, this wouldn't get any attention?
Kamala
whatsoever.
Won June Part 2, would have won Best Picture. That's the future.
That's the timeline.
Nah, that's
because
what we're missing
Trump,
out on.
We got to deal with Emilia Perez, Best Picture of 2024.
Because of Trump.
It's kind of appropriate, isn't it? People. Like, he just is the worst.
I also put in a little thing. If there was a stunt category, these are the movies that should have been nominated. Deadpool and Wolverine, The Fall Guy, Furiosa and Mad Max Saga, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and Monkey Man.
It's pretty cool.
I don't know any other good category. Like the Fall
That's
Guy,
a solid... I would believe that.
Yeah, if the Fall Guy should win if that was a category. The Fall
it's
Guy
about
would
a stunt
win.
Man, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. They should have done it for John Wick Chapter 4. Why didn't they have it then?
I'm telling you, that one should have got
Best
Picture.
It's like the greatest action movie I'd seen in years.
That should have got Best Directing.
Ugh.
That was snubbed.
We've done it. We've done it, Reese.
We got through it.
Yeah.
All right.
Oscar nomination. They're done. We Are Movies Are Back. You can find us on some socials. I think Instagram. I'll probably be starting up a Blue Sky account because fuck Twitter.
Yeah.
Just in general, fuck Twitter. You can also definitely email the podcast Movies Are Back podcast at gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Want to get some emails in there. Want to get some fan responses. I want to have a new section towards the end of the episodes.
Yeah.
You can find me on some socials or whatever, Blue Sky. I don't know. I'll link it below in the pinned comments, or I don't know how these things work.
Yeah.
How can the people find you, Reese?
You can find me right here.
Absolutely. All the time, always. We've done it. We've done it.
Good night, everybody.
See ya.